World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
You pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
That'd be salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning, good morning. Want you to know how much I appreciate all you guys. I look down here, our queue is full already. Remember we just had 10 people? Remember I thought, man, if we could just get 10. We could just get 10 people in here, and then we expanded it, and now we're... Our list says 25. I think that's probably all we'd like to get there. I got something really bubbling in me this morning. I know you probably find that hard to believe. But it's something bubbling inside of me that's bigger than a normal bubbling. I'm going to try to explain a little bit as we move through the show today. I want to, first of all, acknowledge how much I love my wife, her support. She knows I'm edgy. She knows I'm an edgy guy. And she never criticizes me for it. She encourages me. She gave me a scripture the day before I came down. And some of you who are walking through this know how hard it is to walk a stony path when your wife or your spouse is constantly knocking you off stride. And I know a lot of you in the queue, or I know that you and your wife, or your wife and your husband, or whatever, whoever's watching, I know you're not in perfect accord. I know that. And I know that the stuff that we bring to the table, it's tumultuous. When we speak in, like what we did yesterday, so many people are so in love with Israel, and to bring a different perspective, I have to tell you that shakes some people. It does. And I just, again, tip my hat. That's fine. Give a smooch to Michelle, just because she always supports me. And then yesterday, it's kind of funny to watch the Lord's working on her heart. So I'm going to do a show here in a minute. She's asked me, she got into Genesis, and she was reading Genesis. She says, honey, what is this firmament stuff? What is this firmament? I looked into Genesis, and it's kind of like, whoa, firmament. What is the firmament and the heavens and all that stuff? It's right there in Genesis. And I get up this morning, she's asking me about it again. So I'm going to do a little bit of research on that. Because you know what, guys? Girl, when I say guys, I'm talking to everybody. It's just a generic term. You know what, folks? Let's just this question. Michelle said this to me as I was walking, just before I walked down to the studio this morning. She said to me, wow. Wonder how long Adam and Eve were in the garden before they fell. Now, what a profound statement. You may not see that as profound. The way my brain works, all of a sudden I'm thinking, wow. Because, see, we're taught in the Bible, as we read the Bible, Adam and Eve were in the garden and then they fell. That's the way we read it. Michelle got talking about them having kids and wow. And I thought, I'm as inquisitive as anybody that I come across in regards to biblical stuff. And I never really give great thought, never given great deep thought to that. How long were they there? Were they really there at a period of time where they were like heaven on earth in the Garden of Eden? And how long did that last?
No, Coach.
What all of a sudden made the devil all of a sudden stand up and start tempting? What? Man, I'd like to have the... I'd like to see the video on that one. Yeah, Jill.
Well, I feel it was a period of time, obviously, because when the devil asked her about that tree, she had this big, long explanation. And then when God had told him not to do it, it was simple. So obviously, yeah. A long period of time it had existed.
Well, Jill, was there time? Was there time? I guess there had to be time, right? Because it talks about in Genesis that time, space, and matter, the creation of time, space, and matter is right in the very first sentence. In the beginning, time, God created matter, the heavens and the earth, space. But Michelle said, well, if they created space, why? Why did they create space? I said, well, they had to have space. They had to have space to be able to put stuff into. In other words, she's asking me about the plans. Listen, she's an educated woman. It's not like she's sitting, Daddy, tell me this. She's just asking. She's being inquisitive. She's asking questions. I said, well, they had to have space in order to put the planets and solar system in. Had to have that the creation of that, and then they put the Earth in that, as I tried to explain it. Point being what? I don't want to get into that one. Point being, you know, there's so much we don't know. There just is. And we have, you know what I like about this? You guys are spiritually inquisitive. I think that's a good thing. You don't just blindly follow what you've been taught. And, you know, Larry sometimes will come in and bring something, and Tim's with us today with his hand up halfway works, and somebody, Roger, will throw something. And all of that stuff and all that stew that we're stirring together, there's something good that comes out of it every day, every day. But as I started to say or did say, I've got something really big bubbling in me. And that's why I want to get some of us together. In the multitude of many counselors is great wisdom. I want to get a group of guys to come together and pray and strategize. And I want to do it soon. So I'm going to touch on another subject I'm just going to do it real quickly. How about some of you out there helping us do that? I'd like to raise like $3,000 to be able to fly some guys in, put them up in a hotel for a weekend. I say, well, golly, coach. Well, you know, listen. We don't want anybody not to be able to come because they can't afford it. Okay? We don't want that. And some of you can't come, but you could send $20. I make that appeal all the time. And I would also say this. If everybody gave $20 a month, that would be, dare I say it, 20 times, somebody help me, 20 times 50, no, 20 times 12 is $240, if I believe that's right. And that would be a fund, that would be an air flight fund. If you yourself spent 20 or set 20 aside for yourself, if you sent $20 to pass the salt, that's $240 in a year. That's a flight for you to come to this stuff that you've just put it into the bank and into an account. Because when I call for this meeting, which I'm going to do soon, I don't want a guy to have to pay $800 to come out and do it. I want him to be able to come, have the freedom and liberty to be able to come. So some of you, like just like soldiers right now, some guys are fighting and some of us are funding the fight. I see this the same way. Some of us are fighting and some of you need to help fund the fight. So yeah, you can nibble it down on your finger and say, oh, they're always asking for money. I'm asking for money. I'm just telling you. I want to bring some guys in. I think it's going to take about $3,000 to do it. So I'm laying it out there. Some of you who are watching every day, maybe not guys in the queue, people are watching every day, every day. I'm asking $1 a day from you. $1 a day. Give $1 a day, that would add up. So, okay, so I'll throw that out there because, listen, something big's bubbling in me, and it has to do with what we're going to talk about here today. Is there anybody got something for the good of the group? Sarge, anybody, something I'm not forgetting? Let me throw this out real quick. February 9th, 20th of January, 20th. I think I got the date right. I'm going to be in Noblesville, Indiana. We're doing a boot camp in Noblesville, Indiana. If you need, I don't know. I haven't even looked at our website. I don't know if it's up there or not. Noblesville, Indiana on the 20th. It's going to be two hour event. Not so much boot camp, but just we're holding a rally there. And then February 9 and 10, we're going to have a boot camp. We just kind of confirmed that yesterday in Neosha, just south of Joplin, Missouri, Neosha, Missouri. We're going to have a boot camp there along with an ordination. We're going to do our first ordination there. So all that, we're going to get more and more information out there for all of you. If you want to be ordained and you are close to Joplin, Missouri, 4-hour drive, 5-hour drive. We'd like you to be part of that. We're putting this stuff on it. Listen, I'm heading somewhere with all this stuff, okay? Just trust me on that. So there's two things that you can put on your calendar. The 20th. I'm going to be in Nobleville, Indiana. I'd come to your church if you invited me. I'd come to your church. I know your pastor won't let me, but I would. Well, you can do like Kevin's doing. Kevin's just getting, he's just getting the building we're doing. Same thing that's going on in Noblesville. One of the viewers, one of the guys in the queue, I've had enough. I could do something. So he's having an event right there. You could do that and we would come. Okay. I'm heading towards somebody. Yeah, Roger, I heard you try to break in.
Oh, I was just going to piggyback off of your comment about flying guys around. We don't want to ever underestimate the importance of fellowship.
Right.
It oftentimes is willy-nilly as, oh, but it's important. It is important. You don't go to battle with people you don't really know or that you see once mm-hmm. a year.
That's right.
The harder. The other thing I want to encourage the men today and the listeners, Dave, is to support your ministry. You won't as aggressively as I might ask for it. The men here, as they begin the new year, and the ladies that are listening, and those that are not live, and those that are seeing it later, you're worthy of our support. The huddle has affected myself and my family. Many times I think it's my church. I don't know if that's good or bad. I think it's
Amen.
Good. But guys, we need to support this ministry. We need to support Dave. We know him. We love him. We know he's not perfect, but we need to support him. And so I'm asking for money for the ministry, not just for Dave, but for the ministry of Pass the Salt.
Amen.
All of us, if we could step it up a little bit, me included, it's a ministry worthy of financial support, be it $5 a month or $500 a month. So, Dave, I just share that with you.
Thanks, thanks, Raj. Thanks. And listen, I'm not asking for a tithe. I'm not asking anybody to tithe, you know. It's not about that. There's so many people who are watching this. If $20 a month came in from everybody, and, you know, I say that, and then most people don't do it. $20 a month, we'll put it in a fund, and it'll be a fund that we'll use to fly guys in and do stuff. You guys know what's going on. Come on, you know, you understand that. Because I'm telling you, I told my wife is amazed yesterday because I did some chores around the house. Normally when she asks me to do a chore, my response is, okay, honey, but she knows in her heart, I don't do that. I don't repair things. It's not my gift. I just don't do it. I'll say, okay, honey, and then I don't do it. Well, yesterday I did a few things around the house. And she said, wow, she noticed and mentioned it. Honey, boy, you did that. And I said, listen, I told you, I'm a guy, build momentum. I build momentum. And when I begin to build momentum, then things begin to happen. And I'm telling you right now, there is a momentum building in me for the 2018. I'm just telling you, okay? And it has to do with what I want to talk to all of you about today.
Coach.
And yeah, Joe.
Before we get started, I want to address one issue from yesterday's program concerning Israel.
All right. Okay.
It seemed that Israel is being played down as not important, a waste of time, and things like that to me. I was sitting here in shock for most of the show. In Daniel 9:27, okay, if you mm-hmm. read, talks about the sacrifice ending. Okay, in order for the sacrifice to end, it has to begin. In order for it to begin, there has to be an altar. Okay, mm-hmm. the altar will be built before the temple is built. That'll be the first thing we actually do build, is the sacrificial altar. And sacrifices, the daily sacrifice, morning and evening, will begin. Okay, in order mm-hmm. for that has to happen. In order for the abomination of desolation to cease it, to end. Israel is important. Old Testament is important with the New Testament and the return of our Lord. And to say that Israel is some kind of an Americanized thing, to me, is wrong. Granted, there is that. I agree with that, okay? But to play it all off is wrong.
Can I ask you a question, Joe?
Yes.
Here's the debate. Who or what is Israel?
Well, I'm concerned with this temple in Jerusalem.
That didn't answer my question.
That's true. It didn't answer your question. The nation of Israel, if you want to look at it scripturally, is from the Mediterranean to the Euphrates.
Right.
That's how big it is. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Encompass Syria, Jordan, Iraq. That far
but
over.
Then who are the Israelis? Who are the Israelis then, Joe?
Supposed citizens of this bordered country developed by the United States and Israel and the United Nations in
1940. Who are the Jews, Joe?
Jews are supposedly the descendants of the house of Judah, Benjamin, and Levi.
Mm-hmm. But what are they now?
We have no idea.
Well,
most of them
amen.
Okay, are not amen. True Jews. Okay, they are, there's a term for them.
Joe, we read yesterday that we're now Abraham's seed. We're now it.
We're ingrained into it, but we cannot cast off what is there. It's all part of it, even though it's wrong. It'll be shown wrong. They'll weep when Jesus returns.
Let me say this, and then I want to move on, not because I don't want to. I just don't want to get bogged down on this. Here's the thing, Joe. The American church is more concerned about Israel than abortion.
Absolutely, I agree.
That's a problem.
That is wrong, brother. That is idolatry. God's promise, if he made an everlasting covenant with Israel, it's God's promise, it ain't mine.
Correct.
It's God's promise. And he will see it come to fruition. And I think that the world would be a little bit better. That's just my opinion, okay? The world would be a little bit better off if we focus less on Israel. That's just what I think. And more on what the kingdom of God around us. The opportunity, the thousands of millions of billions of dollars that is being spent over Israel, to me.
The money that's spent in this country, okay, to provide abortion, that comes out of my tax dollars, I am upset about. The Lord showed.
No, you're not.
Yes.
No, you're not. Well, Joe, we're friends.
I know.
Because if you're upset about it, listen, I hate to tell you this. If I go to a professional football game and I'm sitting in my seat and some guy above me keeps spilling beer on me, I just don't pray he quits. I just don't pray he quits drinking the beer. I don't just pray he quits pouring that beer on me. I don't. I stand up and I say, hey, dude, you do that again, I'm going to help you meet your maker. And we're slaughtering babies, and the church is focusing all of its effort and energies on Israel. That's my point.
Well,
of us here in the queue, I'm talking to me. This is going on. That's what I'm going to talk about this morning, by the way. This is going on our watch, and we are making an idol out of stuff that ain't got anything to do with us.
Correct.
God blesses those who bless Israel. Cool. Who's Israel? Comes back to that same question. Who's Israel?
Israel is
Who's us. Israel? Who is it?
Israel is us.
It ain't Timothy Geithner.
No.
I'm telling you that. It ain't Harvey Weinstein. They're both Jews. Are you telling me God's blessing those guys? You want me to believe that? Chuck Schumer?
No.
The blessings of God are following Chuck Schumer? Are you kidding me?
The word that the Lord gave
Weinstein?
Me. I understand what you're saying. I'm telling you what I have done. Okay, you asked what I have done. The Lord gave me a work concerning abortion in America. It will end this year, one way or the other.
That's what I want to have. That's why I want to get us together, because I got a plan. Here we go. You ready? Love you, Joe.
I promulgated it on Our Daily Bread this morning.
Uh-huh.
A little comment section. I don't know if anybody reads that. Okay, from Our Daily Bread. I also sent it to our brother down in Waco this morning. So I'm doing what I can to promulgate it, because that's all I have to do at this point.
Cool. Okay, cool. So here's what, bear with me, because I'm kind of organized this morning, believe it or not. I just got to show you this. I just got it. Jared, pull up the first thing. It says Vimeo. Vimeo, it's 2 minutes long.
Hey, Dave, pulling that up? Okay, I just mentioned that David Koresh had the Star of David flying in the compound before they murdered him.
I didn't know that. That's another whole story. There's three stories you just went through there that I'm not prepared to talk about at this point. Star David being one of them. Hey, guys, we teach his commandments, the doctrines of men, making the word of God of none effect. But Jesus said that, not me. So here it is. This is wolves. I want you guys to know what we're fighting, okay? I wrote a commentary today. I'm going to get to that. When you're going to wake up is the commentary that I wrote today. And I'm going to show you something. They are awake. They are awake. This is 2 minutes. I want you to listen to this discussion. These guys are sitting around and they're discussing. You'll hear it. 2 minutes. Go ahead, Jared. There it is. Somebody help me. Wasn't it the Apostle Paul said, who will deliver me from this body of death? Oh, wretched man that I am. And this guy is saying, probably a very loving, nice guy, talking about whether or not you ought to confront people with their sin.
Loving people the hell he is.
That's right. Don't confront them with sin. Confront them with love. That's what we're up against. And you know what? You listen to the guy. It sounds good. Sounds good. And so then a guy like me out on the street yelling, "Hey, you gotta stop doing that, wicked world." Yeah, it's a different gospel. So that's what we're up against. Okay. Now, I want to, Jared. Let's see. Make sure I get this the right place. Jared, I want you to go to my Facebook page real quick, if you could. Rob, I don't know if Rob Pugh always listens to the show. And I just want to give a shout out to Rob Pugh about two different things I think I'm going to find here. And I'm going to use that too. I probably didn't. Oh, did I not? Did I do that again? Here's what I wrote. When are you going to wake up? We're going to get it. Now go back down, Jared. It's not there. Rob Pugh. Hey, Jared, see if you can go real quickly to Wisconsin. Do the search, Wisconsin Christian News. Because it was on my Facebook page. Yeah, right there. See if it doesn't come up. Right, nope, go on. I'm sorry. Hey, guys, listen, we can all do more. We can all do more. And I want to tip my cap, and I want to acknowledge the great work that Rob Pugh is doing up in Wisconsin. That his eyes are open. He's been awake. Go on down, Jared. Because he just posted something yesterday that just really, really caught my eye. And Lord, let it be there for me. Rob's doing something. Rob, I'm talking to you guys out there right now. Okay, faith without works is dead. No, that's not going to be it, Jared. He's having Rob Pugh is doing weekly meetings in Marshfield, Wisconsin. He brings in speakers. He brings up, Rob, I'm sorry, man. I wish I had it. Rob, right in front of me. Shame on me. So there's that event that we're going to have up on March 9th, but that's not what I'm talking about. Just on Tuesday night, he's bringing in a speaker who's talking to the people about what's going on. What, maybe it's Islam one day. I can't remember. I want to hit myself in the mouth right now that I didn't forward this out there. Tuesday evening, the Salt Light Brigade meeting. See if that's it. See if that's it, Rob or Jared. I don't know if you can click on that. Here's what I'm saying. Each one of you could do this. Each one of you could find a room. You could find a hotel room. You could find whatever where you could begin to get people together and do nothing more than what Sarge is doing, showing videos, getting a group of guys together and showing them videos, discussing, building a downline of guys that are coming together. Are you with us there, Sarge? I don't know if Sarge is in here today or not. I heard about it. Yeah, he's there. Sarge, what are you doing up at Maine? No. What are you doing with that group of guys, Jeff, Sarge? Maybe he walked away. Chad Estes is having, he's getting the Salt and Light Brigade guys together this the 18th and 19th, I think it is, although I might have the date. He's doing that and keeping connected with those guys. But every one of us in this queue, we ought to be, you guys are being trained to be leaders. And we have to begin to exercise that. Bring a speaker in. Get a group of guys, get five guys together and show them a video. Doesn't have to be a video of what we're doing. Show them a Jason A video. Show them, I mean, there's 1,000 different things out there that you could do. A lot of different things. Because if we're going to begin to awaken people, we know this, it's not going to happen in our churches. They are not going to be awakened in our churches. And I believe there are a lot of gems, G-E-M-S, sitting in our churches. And we got to go get them. We have to awaken them. I know, Roger, you've talked about doing this a lot. Brother, we got to do it. We have got to do it. We got to begin getting together locally, whether it's one day a week, whether we have got to begin to do it and help to educate our brothers who don't really understand what's going on. Amen. So my tip of my cap to Rob Pugh, because, man, he's having a great one. I don't know how I lost it. Go ahead and talk a minute while I look on my own Facebook page here a minute. See where I saw that. Somebody jump in there.
Hey, Coach, this is Mark. Just yeah, Mark. I wanted to share, I'm really happy about what you're doing here. The part of the church and the what I've been getting is just the fact is they're not teaching us how to get word out. They're not teaching us how to create a platform. They're not teaching us, you know, the right process. Pastors just don't do that.
No.
And you are so excited about this. I'm excited about it because you're finding ways for us to activate locally in our towns.
Yes.
And that's not what our pastors are doing for us. They're not teaching us how.
It doesn't even dawn on them to do more. It doesn't even dawn on them that they're supposed to. They don't even realize that they're supposed to be doing it.
They bought into this
idea that there's the church world and then there's the other world. Well, we all live in the other world, and we're supposed to take what we've learned in the church world and take it to the. That's what I wrote about today. Tip of the cap. I'm sorry. Listen, Rob Pugh is doing what we ought to be doing. And Rob, I want you to know that I noticed it and I feel your heart and I appreciate everything you're doing. Now, along that line, I wrote a commentary today. Jared, can we pull that up there real quickly? No, we can't. That's kind of a redundant. Can we? Will you pull it up there? The commentary I wrote today, and I'm going to run down through it real quickly. And then I'm going to play a song. I don't know if you can do this, Jared. I sent you a standalone piece as well, Jared, and it came to you. Boy, my computer is slow. What's going on here? And it came to you, Jared, as a foreword, and it's a song that came from. It says, "What say you this?" is what it says, Jared. Now, folks, I want to. Bob Dylan wrote a song. Rob Pugh gave me this. Okay. And I wrote on it today. Stay with me. It says, when the title of the article I wrote today, they changed it on me, okay? The editor changes it. Last week they changed it, and they spelled some words wrong, made me look like an idiot. When are people here's what it says. When are you going to wake up? Now, I don't know if you know this. In 1979, Bob Dylan, shortly after his conversion, wrote a song entitled, When Are You Going to Wake Up? When are you going to wake up? The editors put people in the headline, okay? Now, I want you to stay with me. Jared, if you're able to get that song ready to play, I don't know if you can do those two things. Did you find that okay, Jared? Okay. Now, folks, guys, listen. This is why I want us to get together. Something's bubbling in me, okay? So here's what I wrote today. I'm going to read it real quickly. I've spent nearly 35 years as a high school football coach, and one thing I learned, whoops. Jared, you jumped right in front of me there, brother. There you go. And one of the things I learned was that a coach is judged by the performance of his team. That's right. He's trying to bring both of them up. I can get it over here, maybe. When a team is underperforming, it's the coach that gets the boot. No amount of blame shifting or excuse making will change things. Every team is a reflection of its coach. If churches were football teams, there would be a lot of heads on the chopping block. The pastors have done a great job of changing the scoreboard, and rather than measuring their success by the impact they're having on the outside of the church, they've washed their hands of the world and instead invested their time in petting the sheep inside the pen. Everything looks good on the inside while the world around them rots. They have used all of their salt inside the building and permitted the ravening wolves to destroy the families on the outside. Give me a thumbs up. This is good stuff. Amen. Most of them have no idea what is going on in the real world, and even worse, they have no idea that they don't know. The salt is stuck inside the salt shaker. I don't know if you know it or not, but a year after the election of Donald Trump, Planned Parenthood is still being funded by the Republican Congress. There's only one reason that it continues, and it's because there's been no demand from the pulpit to stop funding it. Most pastors do not hate abortion. This is what I'm saying to you, Joe. They're pro-choice with exceptions. They are pro-choice with exceptions. My wife said, did you write that wrong? No. Most pastors are pro-choice. And they'll make exceptions. If there is one thing that you can be sure of, it is that God hates the slaughter of unborn children. But abortion is political, they tell me, and they don't want to politicize their pulpits. Silence is consent. Their silence is a political position. The silence of the pulpits is a political position. Over a year ago, candidate Trump said to Hillary Clinton that abortion may be all right with you, but it's not all right with me. He sent a signal to America's pastors that he was ready and willing to end the slaughter of the innocent. But he never got an amen from the pulpit. They stayed silent. Still silent today, by the way. And their silence is deafening. And our congressional representatives finally figured out that abortion really wasn't that big of a deal in the Christian community anymore. Why would they waste all that political capital on an issue that doesn't really matter to the base? It's the economy, stupid. America's become a moral cesspool while the sheep play ring around the rosy inside the stained glass fortress. The continued legalization of abortion in America is the single greatest moral outrage since the selling of American human beings to other American human beings. Pastors better hope that Jesus is just as wishy-washy about life as they are. Jared, scroll down past the song because I'm going to come back and play it. I hadn't heard this song before. Okay, enough is enough. Something bubbling on me. Where's Franklin Graham on the Planned Parenthood issue? Where is he? Where's Joel Osteen, Rick Warren, the mega load of mega pastors? Why are they silent on this issue? Why haven't the leaders of the Southern Baptists, the Assemblies of God, or a dozen other stuffed shirt denominational leaders engaged their congregations with the phony rhinos? Why are we not beating down the doors of our congressmen? Why would we expect our political leaders to care more about life than our pastors do? I had a conversation with a congressman the other day. It was more than the other day. And he punched me right in the mouth. He said, Coach, my office never hears from Christians. Everyone talks about how evil abortion is, but it's the other side that my office hears from. I hate to tell you, but if abortion doesn't matter to Christians, then it won't matter to my colleagues. We never hear from Christians, he told me. God has given us the opportunity to end the scourge of abortion. Why are our leaders so cavalier about murder? Won't some leader please grab the ball and run with it? The church has the opportunity to roll back 4 decades of decadence. We can end abortion now, but we're worried about Israel. Sorry, I'd throw that in there. Well, see, Israel's not controversial, is it? Huh? Okay, so listen. Here's Bob Dylan's song. And remember, this was written in 1979. I'm playing this for my wife last night. Again, thanks, Rob Pugh, for sending this to me. Jared, I don't know if you can have the lyrics there and play and listen to what Bob Dylan wrote in 1979 and ask me if anything's changed. Go ahead, Jared, if you can do it.
You got some big dreams, baby, but in order to dream, you gotta still be asleep.
Wow, what a line. Remain.
You got men who can't hold their peace, women who can't control their tongue. The rich seduce the poor, and the old are seduced by the young. When you gonna wake up? When you gonna wake up? When you gonna wake up? Strengthen the things that remain. When you gonna wake up? When you gonna wake up? When you gonna wake up? Strengthen the things that remain. Spiritual advisors and gurus to guide your every move. Instant inner peace in every step you take has got to be approved. Okay, Jared, that's good enough. That's good enough. Is that profound? Is that profound? 1979. When are you going to wake up? When are we going to wake up? Can I show you something? I want to thank Mark. I want to thank Mark Harrington for this. Something bubbling in me, and it's big. All right? Something bubbling in me, and it is big. Jared, let's go to... What does it say? Let's go to the Facebook. Yeah, let's go to Facebook, Jared. And then I want you to go to the Created Equal. I think I've got it on my Facebook page, Jared. Are you ready? Are you guys ready? Write this from Mark Harrington. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to get mad. Okay, Jared, pull that up there. That's Mark Harrington. That dude there gets what's going on. That guy right there. Spoke to him yesterday. Are you ready, guys? Can I read this to you? Planned Parenthood reports that it attracted 700. Planned Parenthood reports that it attracted 721,000 new donors who donated an average of $120 each last year. That alone adds $86.5 million to its income. It also claims to have added Planned Parenthood says it has added 250,000 new volunteers and had 90,000 people join its new Planned Parenthood Defenders, a core group of supporters who pledged their time to defend Planned Parenthood. Despite some positive trends regarding the abortion Goliath, Planned Parenthood is on the move, and the reports of their impending demise are premature. For the entire report, go here. It clicks on it. But here are some lowlights for you. Government-funded Planned Parenthood, $543.7 million. They just refunded it. Not refunded as took it about. They just funded again Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood received $532.7 million in donations. That's a billion. You put the two together, I believe. Yes or no? And they aborted 321,848 babies. And according to George Barna, half of the adults want Planned Parenthood to continue to receive either the same amount of funding it currently receives or increase.
What's wrong with these people?
These are Christians.
No, they're not.
Well, what do you think? Well, I'm not done yet. I got more good news for you. I think. Yeah, Jared, click on Barna statistics. When you gonna wake up? When you gonna wake up? And so my question is, where's Franklin Graham? Franklin Graham could turn the whole issue. Where are the Southern Baptists? The Southern Baptist Convention. They could turn the whole issue. They could go to our elected officials and bring pressure and demand it. Demand abortion be ended. Where are they? Rick Warren, Joel Osteen. We have so much power. Something bubbling in me. And it's good. I don't know why I threw Barna up there. He gave some statistics. Americans are confused about abortion. Vinny just, who are these people? This is people sitting beside you at church. That's who they are. That's who they are. Scroll on down, Jared. They've killed 60 million babies. 60 million babies. Oh, my goodness. Self-description. Going down, Jared. But 47, there it was. 47. A small majority of adults want abortion to be legal. Small abortion. A small majority. However, that view is dependent upon the circumstances. Less than one quarter of all adults, only 23% of adults want abortion to be legal under any and all circumstances. One third want abortion to be legal under most, but not all circumstances. Only one out of 10 adults wants to outlaw abortion in all situations. Do you see that? Only one of 10 adults want to outlaw abortion. Abortion is murder, and only one in 10 Americans want to do something about it. See, guys, this is a great failure of the pulpit. It's a great failure of the pulpit. How can people be sitting in the church and think abortion's okay? Huh? Go down to morality, Jared. When are you going to wake up? The largest share of adults, but a distinct minority, believe that abortion is immoral. Only 36% of people think it's immoral. Close to one-fourth of the public say abortion is a moral issue, while 24% say it is. How about this? The remaining 16% don't know. That's a good one. I don't know. Abortion immoral? I don't know. Inconsistent views. Listen, I'm going to run out of time. This thing is there for you to see. Abortion, Lord, give me some peace there. Hey guys, can I tell you something? Our pastors don't care about abortion. They don't care about it. didn't care about. Donald Trump said that when they were talking about dismembering a baby, Donald Trump said it may be all right with you, but it's not all right with me. And the funding of Planned Parenthood, twice the defunding of Planned Parenthood came before legislators, and both times it got rejected. Why? Because it doesn't matter to the church. Why doesn't it matter to the church? Because it doesn't matter to the pastor. And we have the ability. Can you guys, something bubbling inside me. I think we've made a big mistake. Y'all listening out there?
Yes, we are.
Okay, here's what's bubbling in me. And I don't want to say too much because I don't want to give the enemy any note. Planned Parenthood ain't going to fold. We can go to Planned Parenthood 24 hours a day around the clock, and it's only going to harden their heart, and it's only going to harden the heart of those that support them, and they're going to get more volunteers, and they're going to raise more money, and they're going to continue to murder more babies, and they're going to continue to do it with tax dollars. See, our problem is, boys and girls, we've been pointing our gun at the wrong target.
You're right.
We're not going to change Planned Parenthood. We're not going to change it. I wonder if we could change it. I wonder if we could change your congressman.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
What if all of these protest Planned Parenthood things we've had all around America where people went and stood out in front of Planned Parenthood and then their money went up and their volunteers went up, and what if all of that effort and energy was focused at our elected officials? What if our protest Planned Parenthood rallies were held outside of our local congressman's office? Hmm?
Oops. Do you know that I was going to call every legislator and ask them if they supported the murdering of children? And then my phone went crazy. I couldn't use it. Imagine
that. Well, but see, it doesn't matter because they would tell you yes anyway, because we'll see the way they do it is they bring it up in the bill. As we saw, it was in the original bill, the budget this year was in the budget. And then they got, and so they all voted for that budget. They all voted for it. Say, yep, I want to defund Planned Parenthood. When it came to the nitty gritty of actually having to pass it through and get it done, then the legislation fell apart, but they're going to be able to come back and say, oh, I'm pro-life. I voted for that bill. See, what we need to do, we need to create a fire in their pants. These guys are going to be running for re-election here very, very quickly. And we need to hold our local congressman accountable. I'm not going to say any more than that. See, abortion will end. The Lord has helped me see this, Joe. The abortion will end when the church says it will. Not when Trump says it. Not when legislatures say it. And so we have got to do something to get to the heart of our pastors. When are you going to wake up? When are you going to wake up and understand, guys, remember, go back a three, 4 months ago, we were talking about Western civilization being under attack and the white Anglo-Saxon. Remember all that? Remember all that? And just look at the statistics and you look around and who's not having babies? Huh? Who's not having babies? Huh? And it is the judgment within its own self. The slaughter of our future, killing the goose that's laying the golden egg, will have consequences. It is not just another political issue. Even if you are an atheist, you should want more babies. All those who hate me love death. And you know what? The church doesn't love life. Because I want to go back to the situation where I'm sitting at the Browns game and the guy's pouring his beer on me. When it begins to irritate me enough, I smack him in the mouth. And they're slaughtering 60 million babies. You had a bunch of guys run for office, said they were going to defund Planned Parenthood. And they did the old bait and switch and didn't do it. And they're going to sit in their office and say, well, I voted for it. No. We need to light a fire under those guys' arses to get them to actively. You guys see where I'm going here? We're wasting our time outside Planned Parenthood. We're wasting our time other than trying to rescue babies, trying to rescue babies. But if you think that Planned Parenthood's going to be moved because I'm out there, are you kidding me? This is deeply diabolical, diametrically demonic, the slaughter of unborn babies. And the church is the only one that has the opportunity to stand in the gap and do something about it. I'm in Luke 10. I'm in Luke 10. They cut you on to something. Luke 10. Where am I? Joe, you ready? 10:30.
I'm ready.
10:30. No, it's not 10:30. Luke 10, beginning with verse 30. Go ahead, Joe.
And Jesus said, a certain man went...
No, I'm sorry, Joe. Start with verse 29.
But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor?
Oh, boy. What did they say in Genesis 4 when they asked... When they asked Cain about Abel, what did Cain say? Am I my brother's keeper? Is my job to worry about him? Am I my brother's keeper? And what's he say here? Who's my neighbor? That unborn baby? Well, that ain't my neighbor. That ain't my neighbor. Go ahead, Joe.
And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead.
Joe, can I change a minute? Can I interject something here? Sure. Change the scenario a little bit? Let's try this in verse 30. And a certain woman went down to Columbus to Planned Parenthood. And she fell among thieves, which stripped her of her baby and wounded her. And they departed, leaving her half dead. Go ahead, Joe.
And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when they saw him, he passed by on the other side.
Here comes a good religious guy. Here comes your pastor. Your poofed up hair and skinny jeans worship leader. There he comes. He comes down, and what's he see? He sees that poor woman whose very life of being stolen out of her, being pulled right out of her. And he crosses over on the other side of the street. He don't want anything to do with it. Jesus loves everybody, and he's not going to judge anyone. And she, who knows what her situation is? Go ahead.
And likewise, a Levite who was at the place came and looked on him and passed by on the other side.
Wow. Wow. We got some religious folk who they just ain't got time to do it. Who's my brother? Am I my brother's keeper? Cain said, I don't worry about him. I got enough time worrying about me. I came to Jesus because Jesus loves me. I got time to worry about him. Go ahead.
But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was and saw him and had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Now, which now of these 3 thou thinkest thou was neighbor unto him who fell among the thieves?
Which now of these 3 do you think was neighbor unto that poor woman drug into that abortion?
And he said,
and he stopped there, Jill. He said, go and do likewise. So I've got the revelation. Again, I've got the revelation. Hey, guys, pastors couldn't care less about abortion. It's a political position. They take that position. We're a pro-life church. But they continually pass down on the other side of the street. They don't want to go where it's going on. Yeah, Larry?
Yeah, I want to piggyback on exactly what you're saying here. You know, there's Matt Thies, if he's in here, he'll fully understand this because this is one of his big points. We're commanded to love one another love one another. Every time it mentions in the Bible, do that which you heard from the beginning. It says that what you heard from the beginning was to love one another. Never says love everybody. It says love one another. Mm-hmm. Now, that story about the Good Samaritan, a lot of people do not realize that Samaritans were Jews from the wrong side of the tracks. So that was still the one another, loving one another by example and go and do for. It wasn't go out and give God's blessings that he's put in your life. Go give them right back to Satan. That's not part of the picture.
It's not, Larry. It's not. And the Samaritan was, he is a picture of the unsaved world. See, the church folks, they don't want to do it. The abortion's dirty. It's dirty in that ditch. It's dirty. They don't want to do that. Jesus points it out specifically that the church doesn't want to do it. And it's no different. It's no different. We just read the statistics. People in the church, only 1 in 10 in the church think abortion ought to be.
That's the Samaritan, the 1 in 10. Yep. Coach, the Samaritan is not the unsaved world. Samaritan is the black sheep Jew. The black
sheep. I got what you're saying. The Samaritan is the non-important believer, if we want to look at it that way. The insignificant believer. Well, no. See, the pastor ain't going to do it. He's out getting measured. Get measured for a new suit.
Dave.
Yeah.
Got to get my Super Bowl party planned, so lighten up.
Yeah. I don't know why you guys watch this show. I'm such a downer. But boys, I am ticked off. I saw those Planned Parenthood statistics. My blood pressure went up about 900. 60 points. The devil's team doubled down. Am I wrong? Could Franklin Graham come out and demand? Could Franklin Graham end abortion? Could Franklin Graham awaken the church to end abortion? My goodness. He takes thousands and thousands of people down to Port Arthur. The hurricanes. What is it? Why do we not see abortion as what it is? I know what it is. I know the reason. I'm asking, it's rhetorical. Why don't we? Why don't we see it?
We've been compromised, brother.
In what way, Vinny?
In all ways. I mean, it's innumerable. I mean, how many ways we've been compromised.
I think at the heart of it is this, selfishness. We agree that a woman should not have her life messed up by a baby. That's what I think. When you get right down to the nitty gritty, we really don't think that poor girl who got knocked up and I'm sorry, got pregnant in the backseat of a car. We really don't.
Coach.
Yeah.
Just kind of my observation, thinking about the broader world in this context. God's not stupid. Just so everybody knows, and. The only way to be quote unquote successful is to create life. That's the only economics. That's the economics that God designed, is the creation of life. Not money manipulation, not currency manipulation. That's all self-seeking. None of that works. The only thing that actually works, the only thing that actually truly creates a net gain is the creation of life.
Amen. 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 That's the only thing. And I look at I love you guys. I look over in the chat and Jay puts up there Franklin Graham's ministry is called what? Samaritan. And they walk by not only the slaughter of the unborn, but the lives of the women who are destroyed because of the destruction of the family and the hell poured out upon society because of it. There ain't nothing We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Among them are life. If we are not defenders and promoters of life, we ain't no country at all. And if we are not defenders and promoters of life, we ain't no church at all. We just read the statistics that only 1 in 10. The hated, see, we pro-lifers, me, Rusty, Pastor Dale, the church hates us. They hate us because they want to sit in their comfort. They want to sit in their comfort. When are you going to wake up?
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
Hey, before you sign off, and I know you're getting ready to here, but before you sign off, just kind of keep in mind one thing. The group needs to understand the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God. The people that support abortion and that are going by the second commandment. You cannot hate abortion unless you love God.
Amen.
That's the difference. That's the difference. They go by the second greatest commandment, not the first, because the church does not teach anything about the first and greatest commandment. When the church starts to do that, abortion will end. Look at the statistics. I was looking at VCY radio here the other, yes, just this morning. The statistics on what people know about the Bible is frightening. And it's because the church does not teach about loving God, only about loving your neighbor.
Amen, brother.
And abortion, I know, don't fall under that category.
I know where I'm going to go. But
hey,
you know what I'm going to say, Coach? I'm going to say the church doesn't hate you. The satanic social clubs hate you.
There you go.
Well, yeah, I guess. When are you going to wake up? Hey, guys, if it's going to be, it's up to me. We got to do something. We got to do something. Huh? Time for us to wake up. God bless you. See you tomorrow.